The Growing Season. Written by Helen Sedgwick and read by Claire Corbett.
This will be my last audio log. I've been thinking about how to explain, though perhaps it doesn't matter now anyway. You didn't come, and it is too late to make a difference. So I think I might end with the story of the indigo hamlets. You remember those luminous tropical fish I used to talk about? For 10 years, I've kept them in my aquarium in the outhouse. When I stand between those four walls of Caribbean Sea, I can imagine myself in a coral reef with no glass keeping me separate. I suppose they'll be dead by the time you hear this, but that's probably for the best. Fish should not be kept in a tank any more than animals housed in a cage or humans confined to a role. We all of us need our freedom, sooner or later. Don't you think? I went out to the rocks this morning, before sunrise. It is not as dark as you might imagine, when your eyes are accustomed and the moon is past waxing gibbous. But I do realize that a fall could kill me, and I am not ready to die, not just yet. So I wore my head torch and carried a handheld beam strapped tight to my wrist. The path out to the Black Coast is muddied and frozen this time of year, covered in thin sheets of ice that crack under my feet and puddles that trap my ankles, sinking me shin deep into half-hearted bog. I call it the Black Coast for the rocks, fractured and pitted as they are. Deep like charcoal, but sharp as etched glass. Sheets of them stretch out when the sea is away, lives upon lives of sediment. This morning, though, the sea was close in, and the waves were thrashing against the dark sandstone. I wondered if they were trying to claw their way right up into my lighthouse. I feel alive, standing at the coast, my feet planted, like this, on the rock, and my body braced against the wind. It believes I am not a challenge, that wind. It sees only an old woman, but it has not blown me over yet. It stings my eyes with grit salt until they're raw in the corners and weeping, but it does not blow me over. It is hard to imagine anywhere else when you're facing those waves, standing on those rocks. But even there, even now, there are times when I am in two places at once, when I am living in two times. I am an old woman standing alone with her scowl, and I am a young woman sitting among the dark wood and towering bookshelves of that basement room in King's. The feel of all that cold stone underfoot, the echo of it, the smell of the professor's tobacco, mixing with a hint of stale chlorine that could have come from the lab or from the clean floor in the corridor. That room is as still and timeless in its way as the ever-changing black rocks of the peninsula.